What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Law from the Art of Storytelling, Tales by Law, and welcome back to the story so far. We have a name, and we have more co-hosts. I love it. Very familiar voice. You know him, you love him. My brother from another mother. We have Tommy! Yeah! Woo! It was like a few days ago. So I'm related to the brother beard. Oh, and we also have Demetrius Lane in the building. So we decided on a name literally like 15 minutes ago, if that. But it works. I think that is an apropos title.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're going to have to move the microphone closer to Demetrius because I can't hear a damn thing he's saying.
Oh, no.
I'm the strong silent type, don't worry.
Oh, I know you are. See, I get to see you, but nobody else is going to see you. So they don't get to see that stoic chocolate statue that is you just sitting there being like,
Gosh, thanks.
You're welcome. Anytime. Come on, I'm pale. I'm basically fucking, I mean, come on. Like, there's a difference. Yeah. And I'm somewhat sunburned already, and it's barely fucking June.
I can't. Oh. All right, how's this? Better?
Oh, much better. I just want to be able to hear him, because I know he's going to have something good to say. I just want to be able to hear what the hell comes out of his mouth, that's all.
I'll speak loud and clear for you. I got you.
Thank you. Speak loud and clear for the hard of hearing.
And also for the people in the back.
Right. So today's topic is stories that help shape our childhood. And I, by childhood, I can assent that essentially encompasses everything from as far back as we can remember. So I want to say like 18. Because after 18, it's like you're officially an adult.
Well, legally, you're an adult. You're not really fully developed mentally until you're 25, but we won't go there.
Right. You know what I mean.
I do. I'm just being an asshole.
But I thought about it yesterday. Like, there's so many stories that aren't necessarily like books that I picked up over the years that always stuck with me, like since I was a kid. And they're like either like ridiculously funny, well scripted, like, you know, movies or TV shows, a few games that I've played. It's funny because like I don't remember necessarily when I started picking up on story so much as I just knew that like a good story would always engage.
Agreed.
There are a ton of stories that like you consume very, very passively, and you know, you see kind of elements of those things play out in our lives all the time. I don't know. I just really realized that I've been consuming these sorts of media for forever. Mm-hmm. And I never realized it until he had asked me like stories about my childhood, and I was like thinking about it, like, what have I consumed in my childhood? And then all these things started to come to me. I love it. It's a great idea.
Hell yeah. I'm gonna have to agree with both of you. I mean, there's so much shit. If I had to pick one like right off the bat that was hardcore, a huge part of my childhood, and honestly still is part of my life, it would have to be the original Land Before Time. I'm not gonna lie.
I respect it.
I'm 32 years old, and I still cry like a baby when Littlefoot's mom dies, so not gonna lie. And just the basic story of all sorts of different dinosaurs coming together and working as a group and putting aside their differences so that they can survive and get to the Hidden Valley. Or I think that's what it is, the Hidden Valley, where they can go eat all the fucking tree stars they want before the world ends.
Yeah.
And before, like, the 20 sequels that they do.
Yo, for real.
Right. If I had to pick a story that stayed with me or has impacted me a little bit or a lot in my childhood, it would probably have to be Pokemon. I remember watching Pokemon for the first time when I was maybe 8 years old.
Yep.
I'm 29 now. I'll be 30 in September. Ooh-hoo! And,
Dirty Club, let's go.
Dirty Club.
Dirty 30.
But I'll shower, I promise. No, Pokemon has stayed with me for a long time, particularly the first season, because it was so... The idea of that sort of concept was so new to me. You know, with the whole going out on your own and becoming someone greater by just journeying and traveling and believing in yourself.
Were you introduced to the series or the games first?
The series first, but the games very shortly after.
Okay. Yeah, I was reversed. I was definitely, I got into the Pokemon card game, and then they're like, oh, it's a TV show too. I'm like, oh, what? It's a TV show? I'm gonna have to start watching that.
What was your first, who had red and who had blue?
I didn't have a Game Boy.
Oh, you didn't have a Game Boy? Oh, no. I had red and my cousin had blue, which is funny because my starter was Squirtle.
I always picked Charmander, but I think I started with red. Okay. Charmander is known to be extremely, like, Charmander is hard mode, basically.
Okay.
Charmander is super hard mode for red and blue. They only, oddly enough, they only remedy that a little bit in Fire Red, where they actually teach him something that is super effective against the first gym.
Okay.
Because picking Charmander means that you have to, like, build a team before you take on the first gym, because Charmander won't survive it. And then the second gym is a super weakness for him to
whack.
Yeah.
See, I always went Bulbasaur, not gonna lie.
Bulbasaur's easy mode, pretty much, because he beats the first two gyms outright. Resists the third gym. It's, yeah. And he Bulbasaur actually levels up faster than all the other ones.
He does.
So I actually have two stories. Sword and Stone being one of them.
Boom.
The poster right here next to me on my right. And the Disney Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another, also another good one.
Like, those two, I feel like, a little bit, even Peter Pan, I would say, too. Like, those stories, I think, were, like, my first taste of, like, really being imaginative and thinking of, like, all these cool legends and lores and just thinking of, like, cool adventures. I was like, oh, I want to be an archer so bad. And even now, like, I can still kind of do well with archery. But then I was like, I want to be the best sword fighter. What if I could fly and do sword? Oh, that would be so cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
what if I could have all the powers?
To be fair, I had, I was doing archery as a kid in summer camp. I read a bunch of books afterwards for King Arthur. But the thing that actually stuck with me was in Peter Pan, I had his broken, like, kind of half sword. I don't remember if it was from the movie or if it was from Hook, but I had, like, the sword that, like, kind of made the noise with the wooden handle, and I loved that thing.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. I was into Peter Pan. Can't go wrong with that. Although, I'm not going to lie, also, I couldn't have been more than 7 or 8 years old when the second and the third Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies came out. Like, I saw all three of them, but, like, the second and the third ones were much more geared towards kids as opposed to the original one. The original one was a hell of a lot more gritty, and I feel like I appreciate it more now, knowing the context of everything. But as a kid, like, Turtles number 3, like, when they go back to Japan, like, still easily one of my favorites. Even though it's such a terrible movie, like, I would still watch it all the time.
It's, like, one of my guilty pleasure movies.
The first one was really good.
Oh, it was.
I don't remember if I've seen the third one or not, but the first two are probably really, really good. Yeah. I love those movies.
I love the third one. It's always me and Alyssa will watch that from time to time. we're actually thinking about, she hasn't seen a lot of like the old, like, 80s and 90s, like, cult classic movies. So yeah, we're actually thinking of doing a weekly podcast where me and her watch those movies and we do commentary over the top of it. So it'll be loud enough for us to hear recording, but not loud enough for the listener. So basically, like, if you wanted to watch the movie and listen to our commentary over the top of it while it's running, so you can hear what we're talking about, I think that's what we're pretty much going to go
for. I like it. It's very good. I like it.
It could be fun.
Especially, I would love to see recordings, because I would love to see her. I feel like she would be, like, perfect for reactions. I was just like, oh, Tom. Did they? Tom?
Oh, so many times we've watched Cringe and she's just like, oh, they really did that? I'm like, yes, it's the fucking early 90s. Like, that's what they did in the early 90s. Nice. Like, come on. Like, this is par for the course. Early 90s.
Speaking of, I was going to do that. Are the stories that we just mentioned stories that, like, if they came out now, would still, like, impact you as much? Like, if you saw it for the first time right now, would they be as, like oh, wow, like...
I think it would have a different impact. I want to say Ace Ventura, the original Ace Ventura, like, if it came out now, it would have to be 150% different, because there's no fucking way they would make that movie now.
Right.
No, you know, fucking way, in any way, shape, or form, would they be able to make that movie now.
Me and Zace's dad, Jesse, knew all of Ace's lines from When Nature Calls.
Mm-hmm, same here.
Part two was one of my favorite movies, hands down. I knew every one of Ace's lines. It was really bad. Like, I think Luis almost knew all of his lines, too.
I still like the first one better, personally. That's just me. Like,
I feel like the first one...
They had a lot more veiled dick jokes as opposed to just straight-up dick jokes.
Right, right.
Everything was a lot more alluded to as opposed to just being like, yeah, we're just talking about dick and shit jokes, like, the whole fucking time.
Oh, Jim Carrey.
Well, you couldn't go that, any Jim Carrey movie,
The Mask,
Liar Liar. I remember seeing that for, like, my 13th birthday. That was, like, the movie me and my friends went out to was Liar Liar. There's so many questionable movies that my parents let me watch when they probably shouldn't have, but still.
I feel like there's a lot of movies, like, we watched as kids that, like, had stuff in it that were just, like, that were essentially for us, but especially for the parents who went and took us.
Oh, fuck yeah. Like, you watch, like, Shrek. Watch Shrek as an adult now. Oh, and yeah. Shrek
is disgustingly adult.
Oh, of course.
It's super adult.
That is not meant for kids.
It is not.
Well, it is, but all the jokes that just right over their fucking heads, and that's why the parents laugh. And the kids would laugh with the parents, because they're like, oh, it's gotta be funny, because they're laughing, so...
Right.
Oh. He's obviously compensating for something. I mean...
Lord, fuck that. So, like, as far as story goes, how much would those stories have to change? Like, Land Before Time. Would the story change or stay the same for you, like, for it to work now?
Oh, I think Land Before Time, I mean, really, if you look at it, I mean, they might have to change some of the dialogue a little bit just because people are so touchy about how things are said. But, I mean, like, the basic premise of the story and all of the things that happen, I think you could, if that had never come out and they released it today, I still think it would be a huge hit. You wouldn't really have to change much of anything because it's all about coming together and putting aside your differences to achieve a goal, which is, like, a big... That's a huge thing now, fucking 30 years later. So I think, like, Land Before Time, I don't think you would have to change much, if anything, at all. But if we're going, like, Ace Ventura, you'd pretty much have to rewrite the movie.
Yeah. It's crazy how much we are allowed to get away with like, everything. Pop culture, well, or just story driven, like,
I would also figure,
even our as far as, like, short narratives, like all the Mad TV skits, like, you know, SNL.
I think the internet has a fuckload to do with that.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
You take away the internet and people being able to, like, physically voice their opinions and like. Because I'd be willing to bet there were people that still thought that a lot of shit that happened in Ace Ventura was terrible
and all of that.
Yeah, but there was no open public platform for them to, like, find other people that were pissed off by it and then somehow write a fucking, you know, like, sign a stupid fucking petition that is going to do absolutely nothing to change anything. So, I mean, like, I think that's what it is. I mean, you could put that movie out, but the backlash that it would get publicly would just be astronomical, as opposed to in 93 when it came out, 92, 93, didn't have that shit. Like, if you didn't like it, you just didn't go see the fucking movie. Like, that's what it was.
true. You probably wrote a bad review somewhere and then left it at that.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't stop the movie from being, like, enjoyed by other people without being, like, people were able to form their own opinions about it without being influenced by other people's outrage or satisfaction with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that about media growing up. It's just that, like, I wasn't afraid to go see a movie because I heard it was bad.
Right. Like I still want to see it for myself.
And I keep that mentality even now.
I went to go see Dark Phoenix, and all I heard was terrible shit about it. And I don't think that they were wrong, but I also don't think that they were right either. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't as terrible as they said it was, but it definitely wasn't good.
I'm a little bit of a masochist when it comes to movies, because I'm looking for something to like. Although I know they're going to fuck it up and upset me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go see it. We're going to see it tomorrow.
Yeah. I'd like to have a conversation with you about it. Like I said, I'm going to be putting together a whole fucking, like, a whole 5-part series about it, where I'm going to talk about it in depth. But I will tell you this right now. No, this isn't really going to spoil a lot for you. If you know the Phoenix Saga story, they actually stick pretty damn close to the comic books. Like, they actually did a much better job sticking close to the comic books. But, you know, when you have fucking Simon Kinberg writing and directing the movies, like, it's for me, it's one of those things where it's like, you want to reboot and you want it to stay apart from the other ones, but why are you basically writing the same movies over again? Like, the dialogue and the character development's all the same. It's just like, you're not that far removed from the original ones.
I've read up on Dark Phoenix a little bit. I mean, not the whole three-issue arc, but you have to do a lot of world-building for Dark Phoenix to work.
And they didn't do that.
Of course not, because they just don't. Like, it's not about Jean Grey's transformation and this cosmic entity, like, consuming her or whatever. It's about her relationships that change because of it. Also, it's about the world building that happens, like, you know, with the other galaxies that they had just saved prior to this event, and the relationships that they had with other people, like the Fantastic Four, who get sort of, like, aware of the situation and involved. Like, New York as a whole in comic books is a fairly large place for superheroes. And I feel like the X-Men movies don't capitalize on that. Like, it seems like they're the only people who have gifts or powers in New York. And that's not true. Spider-Man is here. The Fantastic Four.
Well, I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that they can't fucking make those other movies. And
right. So you keep doing the Dark Phoenix and making it this big blockbuster event when literally it has the scope of something way smaller, because you can't explore how this event affects the world. Like,
would they have been able to better do that to some degree, like they did, like how Marvel did Civil War?
Yeah, like, it'd be like doing Civil War, but only having 3 characters instead of the fucking, like, 30 that you could use.
Right, and having no history with the characters whatsoever. Like, those last few movies with the younger, newer cast are okay, but they don't really feel, like, cohesive to me. Like, they don't feel like I don't care about them as much. I only care about James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender, to be honest, because I feel like those guys are a step above in terms of, like, their development. Magneto is probably one of the best things about these new X-Men movies for me.
Agreed.
The only thing I don't like about those in that regard is that someone said it the other day, and I was like, that pretty much works out for me. I feel like Magneto and Mystique play too much of the good guys. And we're like, they're some of the biggest bads in the X-Men lore. Like,
this is
why
true,
are
but I'm also going to point out again, these are alternate timelines, and because of the whole thing that happens in Days of Futures Past, it totally changes Mystique's story. So, like, if Mystique in Days of Futures Past succeeds in killing Trask, then we get the standard X-Men timeline that we got in X1, X2, and X3, and will eventually lead to the Sentinels trying to kill off essentially everybody in the future in 2023, which is the future in Days of Futures Past, which is why they go back and change it. Which is why Mystique is so fucking annoying in the next 2 or 3 movies, because Christ on a fucking cracker, like, Jesus, it's like, I just... Mystique's such an awesome character, and then she's like, I'm a good guy now, and it's like, no, fuck you, you're not a good guy. Like, you can't have one thing change your entire outlook on, like, how did you all of a sudden be, like, I'm an X-Men. It's like, but Mystique, what the... Not only that,
I don't believe in myself. Right. I'm saying, like, when did you turn this new leaf, and why is this something that is compelling for us to watch? I don't care, Mystique. If you die, thank you.
I'm all right, not saying anything.
No comment. Okay.
No comment. No comment. No comment. Yeah.
I think get back to your question about whether or not.
I feel like.
But also, still.
Didn't the cartoons back in the day did do a better job with the Darkwing?
Oh, fuck yeah.
But they did some world building. Like, it was,
I feel like they did a lot of world building. There were so many stories that they did.
The Dark Phoenix saga didn't happen until, like, halfway through that whole series. Like, you had all of the character building for all of the X-Men through all of that before we even get to the Dark Phoenix saga. Which is why it worked.
Right. It's the same thing with Teen Titans and how Raven's story works for everyone, how Terra's story works for everyone, because you have world-building experiences. Like, could you imagine Raven's 16th birthday coming in season one, and everyone's like, oh my god, Trigon, and we care about Raven, and let's save her because she's my friend. Like, you expand the story and you expand the characters, and then you see why these characters matter or why their relationships change because of what they go through. Like,
well, it's one of those deals where it's like, the X-Men movies would have been good if the X-Men movies were team-ups and we had individual movies for each one of the main characters that we'd see in those team-up movies. It's sort of like the Avengers. Like, the X-Men are essentially the fucking Avengers.
Yeah. But I also feel like they kind of underplay... What? Okay, I'm not going to debate this too long, but...
Yeah.
Because this is all about storytelling.
Yeah, it also...
Doesn't help, like...
And let's be honest... The X-Men, whether it was the cartoon or, I mean, the first X-Men movie came out in 2000. It came out almost 20 years ago. So we were still kids when those movies came out. I graduated high school the year before the third X-Men movie came out. I remember seeing it in Florida when I was in college. So, like, I remember those movies.
Yeah. But they kind of misrepresent most of the X-Men. They don't utilize them. Like, they don't. You have people who have these skills and talents, and they're not coordinated at all, ever. They're not coordinated at all, ever. They don't really seem to have any lines that give us a look into who they are as, like, people, and their perspective as far as who they feel they are as mutants. You get that from some people, maybe Rogue most, where she has a perspective about how she doesn't want to be a mutant.
Which is funny because you don't, I mean, like, they miss so much of Rogue's storyline in the original trilogy.
It's exhausting.
This is a good thing for, like, terrible story structure, is they cherry-picked the things that they thought would work.
Does a lot of this suffer from, like, too much source material? Like... No. Or is it like they just don't understand the source material and can't translate it to like adapt it for something else?
Well, basically, I've read about a couple of things where, like, a couple of the movies were written, two separate scripts were written by two separate people, and then they combined the best elements from both of them and then hired a third person to rewrite it with those elements in it. And it's just like, it's a giant clusterfuck when in reality they had no real, there was no real set storyline. They're what they basically were just like, oh, it ended here, so let's just add this.
Yeah.
There was no...
I'm almost tired of seeing X-Men movies because I know that they're not going to be good. Like, if Marvel were to release an X-Men movie next month, I'd be excited to see it, but I'm like, okay, I'm a little bit...
What?
Overwhelmed with the X-Men.
I think it's going to be 4 or 5 years before we see another X-Men movie.
And let us gain some excitement.
I really feel like that's going to be like a phase 5 type deal where it's going to be like, we're going to go through all of phase 4. We're going to get everything. We're going to get the universe. We're going to have a whole lot more of a world to put them into it because they're going to do the Celestials. They're going to do the Eternals. which may end up seeding, you know, how mutants become a thing. I mean, there's a whole bunch of shit that they could do. I just think it'll be a better thing if they just give it a fucking rest.
I feel like that about Spider-Man, but these last few Spider-Man movies have been very good, so I can't complain. I mean, like, in my lifetime, I've seen at least 7 of them. Right. And I'm like, okay, Sam Raimi, okay.
Again, this is what I've been saying about Batman. We'll see the 10th version of Batman on the big screen since I've been born.
Yep.
With this new Robert Pattinson.
Like, we don't...
You know how bad it is? I blind guessed that in front of my friend. I said, this is the 10th time we're going to see him. And then I did a count in my head, and I was like, yep, 10th time we'll see a version of Batman on the big screen.
And how many...
Not including the animated series.
Yeah, how many Batman actors have we had? We've had Keaton, Kilmer, Clooney, Bale, Affleck, and now Pattinson. There have been 6 different Batmans in 10 different movies.
Yep.
No, I don't want to see Batman anymore. I love him, but they don't ever really make him a thing. They don't make him a detective. They don't
Give me a fucking Batman detective movie.
There's so much to him. This is why, again, like, so I got into comics like in college, but I didn't really dive into Batman like comics heavy until Snyder and Capullo like did their New 52 run. And Snyder and Capullo, like, it almost felt akin to like the Dini and the what can I think of? Paul Dini, Bruce Timm like stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where everything was mapped out, it felt immersive, stories made sense, and every detail was utilized. You know what I mean? And with Snyder and Capullo, or they like, you figure that whole Batman run kind of exists in the New 52 as a whole, but they literally are left to their own devices to build a universe of Batman because there's so many characters. You have essentially your own pocket universe within this greater Justice League DC franchise, you know what I mean? In our comic book sense. Now, in that like little pocket universe, you develop a story called Eternal. Eternal? Bro, if you haven't read Eternal, I just had a tone from Across the Hall, shout out to Nerds Around. I just lent him that so he can read it. And he's like, bro, I'm burning through these like really quick. These are really good because they establish so much story from the jump and they effectively utilize every little character to pull you in and essentially leave you on the edge of your seat and go, holy... I was reading on the train and felt so bad because I was like, holy fuck. And there was like a 4-year-old next to me.
Yeah.
That's how engrossed like into the story I was. Mm-hmm. And it was like... It was so refreshing to see it. You know what I mean? Versus like, on the big screen, we've seen Batman like... If we break it down, Keaton was a good Bruce Wayne, not a great Batman.
We still right? have a lot of this where it's like they're good because there's two personalities. One's really good. He's a good Bruce Wayne, but a terrible Batman. I thought like Ben Affleck was a good Batman, but he was a terrible Bruce Wayne. I think Christian Bale was the best between the two. But still, I mean, like, I fucking hated his Batman voice. It was so stupid. Every time I hear that, I just think of fucking Batman, where they're the whole, like, the Batman with the... Oh, what is it? You know?
The metal?
Yeah, well, I just think of Batman, you know, like...
I am the Batman.
We had sex in an order that would surprise you. Like that, every time I hear that voice, that's instantly the first thing I think of, and it's just, it kills everything.
Yeah.
Those movies were good, though. I mean,
they were.
I feel like those were the best, like, narratives for Batman. Like, because even though, like, they stuck really close to, like, their guns of being like, we're in this world of supers, but we're not going to have it be super. We're going to keep everything grounded. So in that vein, I respect the fuck out of it.
Yeah, it was very, a sense of realism was really there. Like, right. I felt like this is not about overpowered super people.
No. And everything felt like it made sense too. Like everything, his relationship with Lucius, how he developed his weapons and gadgets and his tech, and like his relationship with Alfred, his relationship like with just characters in general. You know what I mean? Like all of that progression made sense. So like now, really, all we're asking for, I think, in these newer like adaptations, is give us a little bit more than rounded. Understand, like, yes, in Justice League, he's a little out of his element, but not like fish out of water out of his element. He's not going to be like, well, okay. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, Justice League War, like that animated movie.
Love it.
It was so, like, I have people who like hate that movie, but the best like depiction of Batman going, okay, this is some wild ass shit that's going down, but like, I'll get used to it, is him and Green Lantern's interactions in the sewer, where he like takes off Lantern's ring without him knowing. He goes, oh, it just works with like by like willpower, right? Cool. And he's like holding it, and you see GL looking at him like, how'd you do that? You know what I mean? Like, I want more of that story, and like, cause it's seeing him as a, you know, doe-eyed, you know, first of all, he was too doe-eyed in Justice League and too den mother in Justice League, if that makes sense.
It should have been the opposite. He should have been jaded, and he should have been like, I don't even want to be part of this group, but I guess I kind of have to.
You know what I mean? It's like, there wasn't, again, I think it all falls down to like, there wasn't enough to not only invest me in his story, but keep me there once I was there.
The DC cinematic universe has ruined Batman for forever. They can't come, please just don't do anything with Batman. Because you can't now. He's been in a number of movies and a number of appearances, and he has no world. It's almost kind of like how they treated the Hulk, except
they did the Hulk better, yeah.
Right. Because we kind of understand that, like, who the Hulk is, how he plays into other things. Right. Batman is just like, you have no world to give him, and he deserves one.
I think the only way they could do Batman in film again is if they did a television series with Batman as more detective and more side rogues gallery stuff, and then... So think, like, you guys ever watched The X-Files?
Yeah.
So, like, do it the way they did The X-Files, because between Season 4 and Season 5, they had a fucking movie that bridged the gap between what happened at the end of Season 4 and what happened at the beginning of Season 5. Do something like that. Give me some story that builds a whole world with Batman in it, and then give me a movie where he's teams up with somebody else, or it's one big thing like the Joker or... Mr. Free, you know, pick one of the bigger villains in his rogues gallery that's going to really threaten Gotham, and he's going to really, it takes the whole movie to do that, and then it picks up where the movie left off in the series again.
Right. The Telltale Games have really nailed it, though.
Yeah. The Telltale Games, I feel like, and the Arkham Games have really, like, nailed down, like, his story and, like, really encompassing, like, everything that he is and what he's about. Like, he's not just a fighter. He's not just, like, the brains. He's not, like, he's so much more diverse of a character, which is why I love him.
He has to be.
Use him for, like, a singular, like, thing. It feels kind of, like, cheap. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, he's a guy with a fancy suit and, like, cool gadgets.
He has to be more than everybody else because he doesn't have fucking superpowers to
exactly
cover up all of his shortcomings.
They've done Tony Stark so right by this, and they've just
run
Batman
right
this same way. That's the same person,
essentially. Yeah,
and they ruined one of them. It's how?
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's more mind boggling because they have all their own like source material. Like how?
It's fine.
Yeah, let's not get into that conversation.
I know.
We've already had a lot of that conversation. Let's not do it again.
Right.
To answer your question about if I think that Pokemon would still be effective coming out now if it hadn't come out 20-something years ago,
I say yes. I say that the only thing that they would have to change is the... Okay, so I'll put it to you like this. Pokemon has a lot of patterns that repeat every season, right? And it almost makes the story kind of like redundant to the point where I don't want to watch it anymore. Like, Ash is still very, very young, which is impossible, but okay.
Well, no, I think Ash, they established that in like the first season of the first series. He sees... He sees I can't remember what the name of the Pokemon is. He sees a legendary Pokemon, yeah, that is able to grant, if you find him, you're able to grant one wish, so he wants to be a Pokemon trainer forever, so he ends up being, he stays the same age the whole time.
Oh. Ooh. Wow.
Wait, you never knew that?
No.
Oh!
I told you, I stopped watching after a while because I was like,
first of all... I mean, I stopped watching too, but like, that was something that I heard about, I think... As I got older, I heard about it or came across it, and I thought that was pretty interesting.
That is very interesting, and that now that makes sense, but I hate it, because I wish they would have, like, made the story progressively more mature, because I feel like...
I agree.
Okay. He's too old, and he's been doing this thing for too long where you're that naive still, or where you're... I don't mind starting from scratch and learning, but you don't utilize the resources that you have in an effective way, unless you absolutely have to, and even then...
It's also not a good trainer.
I don't care about that. I do, but I wish that like you realize that you have, at this point in time, after being on the TV show for 20 years, you have an arsenal of things that you can utilize to become effective at your goal. You don't. You get what I mean? Like, do you want to become a Pokemon trainer who consistently trains new Pokemon all the time? Because that's one thing. Or do you want to be a Pokemon master where you utilize your resources to overcome these challenges that puts you in positions to show your mastery. And he doesn't do Pokemon Master things. He does Pokemon Trainer things. I hate it. After 20 years of watching him do Pokemon Trainer things, I hate it. He never gets old. He always loses to the normal type gym leaders. It's always something about him starting over from scratch and never utilizing his stronger Pokemon to win anything to his advantage, even though he knows he has the advantage. Like, I don't have time to watch you make these mistakes. Like, you've been offered the position of being a frontier brain. You're a professional. Like, you can do this, and you choose to squander it at every opportunity. I hate it.
Well, you could you could say that about just about every kind of anime. I mean, like, shonen anime has the same fucking story. It's like fairy tale. Fairy tale's the most perfect example, and so is One Piece. It's like they have the same story arcs over and over and over and over and over and over and over. It never fucking changes. The characters are always the same, and it annoys the ever-living shit out of me. It's like, Natsu from Fairy Tail is the bane of my fucking existence, because all he does is fucking scream and then talk about how he's never going to give up on his friends, and that's literally the end and, like, the climax of every fucking story, every story arc in Fairy Tail. It's about... You don't even know what you're gonna do, cause I'm gonna. He just starts screaming and then yells fire dragon something and then kills everybody, and then they're like, oh, Natsu saved the day again. It's like, fuck you.
I feel like
it's
one time. Well, I feel like if I had to
anime, like storytelling in anime is gonna definitely be an episode, because now that Tom is a little more well versed, we've gotten him roped in.
But there are so many good animes out there, and everyone's all on the dick of, like, fucking the shonen ones that are just the same fucking storylines over and over again.
Yeah. I feel like the perfect progression, I always reference Teen Titans, the cartoon, as, and also Justice League. Perfect opportunity, like, the way that they progress the story and regularly amplify, like, the pressure that people had to go, like, there's so much riding on the next thing that happens, and it's so much greater than the last thing that happens. Like, I wish that more cartoons would take from that. Like, you have a long-running series, and the stakes don't get any higher.
Justice League was 5 seasons, and it felt so fulfilling. And so was Teen Titans.
Oh, my God.
Teen Titans was 5 seasons.
Listen, it was so I mean, I hated the whole Brother Blood, the last season 4, I guess. Where every superhero was, like, getting together to fight against, like, the Brotherhood of Evil, whatever, fine. But that's good world building, because now you've developed these relationships with these people being here makes sense. But, I mean, like, from season 1 to season 2, season 3, season 4, like, the stakes just got higher and higher and more personal. Like, the world coming to an end in season 4, and then, like, it was perfect. I loved it. I just the risk of having to, like, save the world, literally, after only having to save the town that you're in. Like, you started in a tower in a small town.
Right.
And now you have to save the entire world and use everything that you've got to save not only the entire world, but yourself and your friends. And sometimes your enemies. Like, I just think that that sort of storytelling is so great. And we don't have cartoons that amplify the stakes every other scene. Like, they don't move things forward. Even in Dragon Ball Z, like, the stakes don't... Dragon Ball Super sort of starts to do this.
Yeah.
But they don't really... The world's about to be taken over by somebody. It's always the world. It's never, like, the universe or the galaxy war.
Yeah.
Death is whatever. but I wish that Pokemon would do something like
that. I'm with it. I'd like to see, like, an adult Pokemon movie. Like, adults that are, have been trainers for most of their life. Like I thought they did a really good job with Detective Pikachu.
I agree.
Like, the way they built that world, I'd like to see, like, trainers, like, a Pokemon live action with trainers and stuff that has kids and adults that have been fucking trainers for most of their lives. Like, give me, like, an actual Pokemon series that's like that. You know, you see them grow over time, and you see them use the Pokemon that they've been training for over the course of several movies to they just get better and better.
Maybe I'm a little bit of a nerd, but I've always wanted to see, like, a Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie that actually, like, made the world feel more immersive, like Detective Pikachu did.
Yes.
Although,
I agree.
That's fine. I'll wait another 20 years.
That's fine. I'll wait.
Alright. Want to kind of wrap here? I feel like we're wrapping at an awkward place, but not really, because next week I definitely want to kind of do anime.
We got to keep it coming back for more.
Yes. So, give your links and stuff. You want to give links and all that?
Sure. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Demetrius Lane. That's my hashtag handle. Name
everything.
You can also find my debut EP entitled Unspoken. It's available everywhere: Spotify, YouTube, Tidal, Google Play, Amazon, Deezer, Napster, those sorts of things. Check it out,
all of it. Tommy,
you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at I am Thomas TBG, and the only difference between any of those is the Facebook one has a capital I, everything else is lowercase. Website, imtbg.com, and if you want to listen to any of my other podcasts, like Six Degrees, just go on, like, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Huh? Midway through season 3?
Getting close to midway through season 3, 4 episodes in. So episode 5 will drop this week, or today's what, the 10th? Is today the 10th? 9th or 10th, yeah. Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the 10th. So it'll drop on the 14th. Just go to whatever podcast app you're on and search IMTBG and you'll find the episodes. And boom.
Also,
don't forget to go check out our webcomic on Indian Mag. You can't be serious. This is going to be some... Dude, if you like what you've read so far, the shit that we're coming up with for the next several storylines are going to be really, really good.
And I think outline up until, like, issue 12 at this point.
Yeah, I think what we're going to end up doing is... collecting all of them and publishing a limited run for New York Comic Con. That's going to be like 30 or 40 pages worth of story, so should be pretty good.
That. Yeah. Otherwise, you guys can find me at Talos by Law on everything from YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, Instagram, Twitter. The whole shebang. Working on a bunch of different projects right now. This is a new project that I'm very excited about. Starting with these guys. You Can't Be Serious with Tommy. And shout out to Kimbo.
We may have that YouTube thing coming up.
Yes. Yeah. Oh.
May, with fingers crossed.
We can't tell them about that yet.
I still feel like it's going to happen either. Regardless of one way or the other, the decision is made, we're going to do something. So.
Yes. But there's stuff happening very, very soon. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will be back very shortly. All right? Catch you all next time. Peace.